Hey, welcome to the Rookie Preacher Podcast. We are your hosts, Brandon Kelly
and Joe Hoagland, and our goal is to help you preach and lead better.
Well, hey, since this is our first podcast episode, we wanted to take a minute and share with you, the listener, a little bit about who we are, about what our context is, where we our pastor's at, and a little bit about our family. So, Joe, why don't you go ahead and share with our listeners who you are and what your context is.
All right. My name is Joe Hoagland, and I'm a December graduate of my bachelor's degree from Cincinnati Christian University. And ever since then, I've been the preaching pastor at Pleasant View Church of Christ in Jeffersonville, Ohio, which is a farming community about an hour southwest of Columbus, Ohio. Just got married 2 weeks ago to my beautiful wife, Jenna, and we are enjoying married life so far. But yeah, that's my context so far. Farming community, rural community, and I'm loving it.
Awesome. Well, I'm Brandon Kelly, and I am one of the pastors at a church plant on the east side of Cincinnati in a town called Batavia, Ohio. And I'm also a graduate of Cincinnati Christian University, working on a master's degree now. I've been happily married for almost 5 years now, and we have one daughter. She's going to be 2 in July, and we have another daughter on the way in October. So it's pretty awesome, very busy, and just really excited. My position at the church is I'm like an associate pastor, outreach and communications. One of the things I do is I preach regularly on the teaching team on Sunday mornings. And we started this website and started this podcast in hopes to be able to help people who are in similar contexts as we are, figuring out what it means to preach and lead, and hopefully bringing on a resource that is helping people do that. We've been having a blast. And by the way, if you would go to rookiepreacher.com to see all the show notes, it would be helpful for you, because anything that we refer to during this episode, we will link to in the show notes, and we will also bring out any points or any anything that's relevant to the podcast episode, we'll put on rookiepreacher.com. So we're also on Twitter, so we'd love to connect with you there. So as we begin this first episode, now that you know a little bit about who we are, we want to share with you what it is, what it looks like for us to organize a sermon, because there's all kinds of ways to do it, and we want to share with you what we do so that we ensure that our messages are to the point, and they are focused, and they are not just a string of rabbit trails thrown together in an hour-long message that goes nowhere. So, Joe, why don't you go ahead and share what your sermon structure looks like?
All right. So basically, you know, I'm just going to start out with this. I feel like when I first started preaching, you know, I was going through college, and when I first, you know, started preaching on a more regular basis, because I did some preaching through college, I felt like that my sermons were almost too structured. They're too rigid. You know, I did, you know, an introduction, and then I had 3 main points, and then I closed it out. You know, that worked for me starting out, you know, beginning, and created a nice structure for me to build on there. But, you know, as I was a Bible college student for 3.5 years, and, you know, I took a lot of preaching classes, learned a lot about different kinds of structures and different ideas with structure and stuff like that. And I basically come to a point now where I would come up with a main idea, you know, before anything else. And that comes out of, you know, a sermon series I'm doing, obviously, but then I'll have a main idea for the topic or the scripture I'm doing that week. And that comes mainly from Communicating for a Change by Andy Stanley, which I know Brandon is a big proponent of as well. But basically, I take that main point, and I then have my main subdivisions of that point, which could be 2 up to 5. I don't think I've ever done more than 5 subdivisions. You know, that'd be a little too much for me, a little too scattered for me. But you know, as I go throughout that, what I want to do is connect story into that structure in some way. And usually that's a personal antidote of some kind, because I've realized that personal stories really connect with audiences. But I think, you know, when you're doing that, when you're looking at structure, when you're looking at the story you're putting throughout your structure, you really have to be aware of your audience. You know, where I'm at in a rural setting, you know, my stories I share might need to be a little different or a little constructed differently than a story that maybe you share, Brandon, in your context, or someone in inner city New York City, you know, shares in their context or whatever.
Definitely.
So I think, you know, this, a lot of structure can be contextual as well, just like anything else. But, you know, obviously spread application throughout that structure and that story as well is an important part of what I do. And that's pretty much it for me. You know, just try to keep it simple, basically.
So Joe, do you typically do like an inductive, deductive, or does it just depend?
Yeah, it mainly depends. My go-to is typically the deductive, I would say. You know, I like to come out front telling you what I'm going to tell you pretty much, but that's not week in and week out. That's just, you know, I've tried inductive and stuff and it's definitely effective. But yeah, my main go-to would definitely be deductive, I would say.
Cool. Yeah. For the listeners, Joe and I shared preaching classes, but actually just as recently as just like a year ago. Yeah. And I can remember because we would always critique each other for after our sermons. And I can remember, Joe, you would always say that my messages weren't, they could be more organized. I thought, but I think that's funny because just looking at the differences in style.
Yeah.
Between both of us, and you'll get that as I share how I structure mine as well, because mm-hmm. It's much different, at least semantically, or I don't know, I guess we'll see. So the way I usually roll is I usually do an inductive, and so maybe that kind of plays into the perceived unorganization, but I'm sure I have work to do for sure. But the way I kind of think about my messages, I will start with, I also boil it down to one point. I try to have a one point message where the phrase that I use that illustrates that one truth is memorable, is like a tweetable statement, if you will. And I'll usually reword that, and repeat it as well throughout the sermon. So that's where I'm coming from as well. The Communicating for a Change book was really, groundbreaking for me, as it was for you, Joe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really like that approach because it makes sense, you know, taking a 3-point sermon, we can boil that into a 3-week sermon series and really get a little bit more deeper into the message. Cause what I notice is when I hear a 3-point sermon or a 5-point sermon or a 7-point sermon, I don't remember any of the points. And so it doesn't really work for me in the way I think. So with all that said, the way I structure my messages are, I'll start with some kind of way to engage the crowd or the audience, the congregation. Like my most recent sermon, I was talking about defining moments. So I brought in some happenings in history. We talked about the 1998 draft, where it was a defining moment for the Colts. Were they going to pick Peyton Manning or Ryan Leaf, right? Martin Luther King Jr.'s first protest, that was a defining moment, you know, started the civil rights movement and so on and so forth. Talk about how Jesus had his defining moment on a Thursday night, you know, many years ago. So I kind of brought in, that's kind of not really a story, but bringing in some instances in history. But then after I engage the audience, which hopefully I am able to do that, I try and do that within the first few minutes of my message, I'll move to tension, where I try to bring in some kind of tension, whether that be some problem that we all face. And again, this is kind of connecting with the audience. You know, things, felt needs are always going to connect. But bringing in some kind of tension that I can illustrate to get people to lean in, so that they can know that, hey, something is about to be said that is going to be helpful. It's going to address some kind of tension. And then from engaging to tension, I'll move into truth, because I want the tension to be resolved through scripture. So I'll move into whatever text we're looking at. And I usually try and stay in one passage. And if I use any other scripture verses, that'll just be support. It won't be anything that I'll really focus on a whole lot. And so from truth, as I'm going through the passage, I'll be sprinkling an application, and then I'll move into more of a focused application time. So engagement, tension, truth, application, and then some form of inspiration, like this is something we should do and you can do it because of the power that works within you, something like that. And then I always try and move into some kind of next steps to give somebody, you know, something very practical that they can go do. Like, I don't want anybody to leave the service that day wondering what it is they're supposed to do in response to the sermon. And so that's a little bit about me, the way I do it. I love weaving in a story throughout the whole message. I did that the last time. Talked about a lady who, we were in a Brave series. It's just this big thing in Cincinnati that Crossroads, the big Crossroads church, puts on. But I tried to weave a story throughout the message. So a lot like you, Joe, and trying to bring in story, because it really connects with people. And so hopefully,
yeah,
by bringing in story and weaving that throughout the message, it keeps people engaged and on the edge of their seat as much as you can possibly be on the edge of your seat in the sermon.
Yeah, definitely. I liked what you said about a tweetable main point, because that's something I've been trying to do, even though I can tell you my church doesn't have a Twitter account, and I can tell you 100% of my church is not on Twitter. Like, I can tell you that with 100% confidence, but still, it's the principle behind it. Like, you know, they can walk out of there with the main point, and it's applicable to their life. And then, you know, your sermon supported that. So I definitely like that, what you said about that.
Yeah. One of these really good tweetable statements, Jeff Henderson, he's on, one of the pastors with Andy Stanley at North Point. So we keep talking about Andy Stanley. We're like fanboys of him, I guess. But he talks about, in one sermon, he told his congregation, said, what I want you to do this week is ask 5 people this question. And this is what he said: what's it like to be on the other side of me? And so, like, that's so memorable. That's like brilliant.
Yeah.
What's it like to be on the other side of me? You know, it rhymes, it's memorable, and it's a profound question. And so I don't know that I'm really good at the whole tweetable statement as far as like making it real memorable, but if you don't mind, I can share with you what mine was the last time I preached. Joe, you preach like every week. I preach more like a dozen times a year.
Yeah.
So we're coming from much different contexts, but let's see. So we're talking about being brave, and my passage was talking about where Peter got out of the boat and walked on water.
Mm-hmm.
So my one version of my tweetable statement, so to speak, was the cost of not getting out of the boat is greater than the potential of getting wet.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily rhyme. It doesn't rhyme, but it gets to the point that we're going to pay a bigger cost if we don't get out of the boat and do what God is telling us to do.
Right.
You know, so it's more important than getting wet. Or that worry. So yeah, that's how I structure a sermon. It's pretty exciting to see how we've both kind of evolved the way in which we structure things and the way we're trying to find our voices and all of that. So Joe, do you have any words of wisdom for people who are trying to still figure out this structuring a sermon thing? Do you have any tips or tricks or anything you've learned?
Really, I would just say experiment, because, you know, there's a bunch of books out there. There's a bunch of people, I guess, out there that are trying to tell you, you know, good ideas and stuff like that. And that's good and all. And I definitely like to learn from people. And obviously, you know, I'm out here giving advice. So, you know, definitely something I like to do. But I would just say, you know, take what you do and just try to build off of it in some way, and try to experiment into something that makes it your own, because you're not going to be Andy Stanley. You're not going to be, you know, I don't even know, you're not going to be Billy Graham, you know, you're not going to be Matt Chandler. You're going to be yourself. So yeah, that's what I would say. Just find something that works for you.
Cool. Yeah, that's good. One of the things I heard a couple people say, I can't remember who they are, but so, you know, I can't quote them on this, but if you listen to podcasts, if you listen to other preachers preach, don't just listen to one or two, but listen to like 10 or 15, because that will keep you from really like copying them.
Yeah.
Like one of my favorite preachers is Stephen Furtick, and he's really like charismatic and really, you know, has a lot of energy and stuff like that. And my other is Andy Stanley, so I can listen to them too, and I'd be totally happy, totally fine. But yeah. I've been forcing myself lately to listen to more people who don't necessarily keep my attention the whole time or whatever, but it's good to learn from other people. But again, just like you said, we need to find what it is God is calling us to say and the way in which he's calling us to say it, rather than trying to figure out what other people are, you know, what their voice is, because that's what makes them unique, is their voice. They're using their voice. And so a lot of that is also how we structure the way in which we say the things that we're supposed to say. But,
right.
Yeah. So Joe, do you have any books you're reading right now?
Yeah, actually, not related to structures of preaching, but, another topic we cover at Rookie Preacher, just, church leadership in general. And, I've picked up Leonard Sweet's new book, called From Tablet to Table. And, basically he's advocating — I'm not done with the book yet, but so far he's advocating for, finding Christian community around the table, you know, communion together. And I think it's really cool so far. Well, actually, on that topic, though, with Leonard Sweet, his book he put out last year — I think he puts out a book a year, he's a pretty prolific writer — was actually a preaching book, and it was really good. It was called Giving Blood, A Fresh Paradigm for Preaching. And I read that, and that's really good, too. So, you know, actually related to structuring your sermon would be that book by Leonard Sweet, Giving Blood. And that's just a really broad, kind of a comprehensive preaching book. One of the weird things he advocates in there that I remember was, as you preach, have someone Google image search stuff you're talking about. And I was like, wow, that'd be really interesting. But I don't know. I don't know if I could do that or not. But
Google image search?
Yeah. So the people have like a visual map of what you're talking about. And just, I don't know. I don't know how that would work. But that's something he talked about doing in there.
That's really interesting. I don't know what that would look like. That's cool. One of the books I'm reading right now, I've been keeping track of the books I've read this year, and the ones I've started and am in progress of reading are much longer than the total that I've actually finished this year. I have a problem, my wife would tell you. But one that I've been really focused on, two, I guess I'll tell you about two. One is Cost of Discipleship. It's a classic by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Doesn't relate to necessarily preaching per se, but he's going through the Sermon on the Mount, which is phenomenal. A lot of great stuff in there. Definitely recommend you to read that if you haven't read that. And then the other one is called The Faith of Leap. Alan Hirsch is one of the authors. There's another author, but it talks about having mission be a part of the church, and having that be what it looks like is adventure. So typically we think about a leap of faith, but they titled the book The Faith of Leap, that there's actually faith in leaping, and part of your faith is to leap. And so it's been really good. It's more of like the missional approach, and Alan Hirsch is like real big on that. And it's been really good to look at my new context as far as my position of being outreach and communication. So it's really a discipleship book as well.
Yeah.
So those are two books I've been reading, really good. But yeah, it's been cool. So, well, I think that's pretty much all we've got to say about sermon structuring. I don't know how long this has taken, but we've said all we have to say, I think.
Yeah.
And so we're so thankful that you decided to be a part of this first episode of the Rookie Preacher podcast. We hope that both rookiepreacher.com, all the articles that we post, and this podcast will serve you in helping you preach and lead better. And we hope and pray that it will be helpful and that you will grow as a result. And a couple quick things: if you ever have an interest in writing for rookiepreacher.com, you can do that. We'd love to see what you have as far as your ideas for writing something relating to preaching or leadership. You can go to our website, and there's a page at the top menu. Says write for us, so you can follow the directions on that. We always have a guest post on Mondays, and you can connect with us on Twitter @rookie_preacher, and you can find us there. We always have all of the articles thrown up on there, and we always link to other things that we find throughout the week as well. So so thankful that you decided to spend some time with us, and until next time, we shall see you soon, and it's been great talking with you.